Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we play the Rotten Tomatoes game in this first half. Vinny Tortorich comes in. Oh, he's upset too. So we have a good one with him. I think I lay down something that I think you guys are going to nod your head at feverishly. It's a concept, but it's strong. First, 8Sleep, 8Sleep.com. Every pod's got mattress ads. Of course they do. But only one uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep. The Pod by 8Sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows a link between sleep performance and temperature. Well, of course there is. I could have had a decent childhood if I had a Pod by 8Sleep at the Corolla house growing up. I wouldn't have been sweating in the summer and freezing in the winter. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. Stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. And right now, you get $150 off and free shipping at 8sleep.com/Adam. That is E-I-G-H-T, 8sleep.com/Adam. Get the $150 off and the free shipping. Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. It's a morning in morning. This AM on your FM, you're tuned to the toolbox. As we remember Marie Fredriksson, the singer of Roxette, taken from this earth December 10th. At the tender age of 61, there are no words more appropriate than na 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 na. She's got the look.
I know there's something in the wake of your smile. I get a notion from the look in your eyes. Yeah, you built a love, but that love falls apart. Your little piece of heaven turns to dust. Listen to your heart when he's calling for you. Listen to your heart.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Vinny Tortorich. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, we play the Rotten Tomatoes game, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, he didn't find the elf on the shelf, but he did find a radar detector cord and a jump rope. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Not to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's a very weird opening that Mike Lynch wrote for about the radar cord, because I am swapping cars today.
Uh-huh.
As I was driving here about an hour ago, I was thinking about said car swap.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking about going out on the road with this car. I'm taking on like a road trip. And I thought, as I was driving here, I wonder where my cord is for the radar, because I can swap the radar box, but the thing is hardwired
right
to the car I'm in.
Shit.
So I was having very distinct thoughts about radar cords an hour ago, and I was sort of picturing it like up on the shelf, and I was like, okay, it's not up there anymore. I retrieved it. I took it back to my house, and I had I was lost. I was deep in radar cord thought as I was driving here. And I think it's maybe the one time it's ever been worked into the opening of this show.
A thought so that you was thought a, into being.
That is an interesting thing. I was listening to Dr. Drew and Mike Lynch. Now, we're talking about Mike Lynch. And Dr. Drew and I on our show, the Adam and Dr. Drew show with Mike Lynch, which
Is that what it's called now?
Last week. he was talking about oikophobia.
Oikophobia.
And I was like, I don't...
Fear of pigs?
I don't know.
Oinkophobia.
That's oink. Okay. Oikophobia, like oy vey, you know.
Oh. Fear of Jews.
I know what this is.
It's O-I-K-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. Oikophobia. Okay. Anyway, Drew was telling me about it, and I said, he was explaining it. And I thought, oh, I'm glad this thing exists because it's something I've been, not only have I known, but I've been saying this for a long time. And not only does it exist in this country, it exists in every country that is out of problems. But play the clip. I had Maxipad just sort of whack up a minute and a half of it. And you guys get the idea. Yes, sir.
So I heard a historian speaking about something called oikophobia. Which is essentially a fear and hatred of your home surroundings, meaning your country of origin.
How would you spell that?
O-I-K-O-P-H-O-B-I-A, oikophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that throughout human history, particularly the more egalitarian the society, once it overcomes its existential wars, in our case, like World War I, World War II, Civil War, then it starts turning in on itself. Every single society that is egalitarian will start to cultivate people that hate it.
Interesting.
And lay all the problems of the world at the feet of the, in this case, Westernism, Western society. And so anything that's marginalized, anything that's not been dealt with in exactly egalitarian ways is paramount in this oikophobic priority.
I feel it on a daily basis.
And one of the guys I heard talking about it was Swedish. And the interviewer went, well, certainly you don't do that in Sweden. We idealize Sweden. He goes, oh, no, we do it there. If you're from Sweden, absolutely. You hate it. It's a egalitarian society. You turn on yourself. And it's something about all through human history this has been going on.
Whoa.
It's interesting. Well, we're not wired any differently than anyone was wired 1,000 years ago.
Right.
And we are wired for problems. And if we have a moment of rest where there's no wars and there's no famine and there's no plague,
we still
need problems and we'll start looking for problems. Now, as I yelled at Dr. Drew, I said, what the fuck is up with everyone? And he said, this is how we're wired. And I said, not me. And he said, okay, but most everyone else is wired this way. You're looking for fucking shit that doesn't exist because there's something wrong with your brain. Like we have, look, we have good wiring. There's a wiring where the mother holds the infant and suckles and nestles and fondles and all the good stuff. But then we also have bad wiring. We have a victim wiring stuff. And what I'm saying is could we be better? Could we get away from our bad wiring? And there's a wiring, you know, there's a wiring that you know, there's a lot of wiring around sexuality and male sexuality that for the most part we've rewired ourselves. You don't grab that woman that you see that's attractive and drag her back to the cave kind of thing. There's you know, Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. But what I'm saying is
there's justice to be served if that happens.
Right. There's wiring. If we've rewired our society, there's a wiring you have, like, as a 23-year-old dude, when you see your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend with her new boyfriend, you want to choke the guy and stuff. You know, like, we've worked that shit out of us.
Right. Now it's just revenge porn.
Could we work some of the invisible shit out of us? That's what I'm saying. Could we get a little better here? Do we need to keep... Do we need to keep going down this road?
You mentioned this is a half-baked thought I'm having, but it's in the moment, like you mentioned the mother and the child, like it's a micro version of what you're talking about. The macro version is, as a country, you know, we went through wars, civil war, you know, revolutions, blah, 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 to get to this point where now we're like turning in on ourselves a little bit. But like the mother and the child, like, you know, 200 years ago, half the kids died in childbirth. You know, you had to worry about mumps and measles and polio and blah, 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 God knows what ills throughout history. And now we're at a place where we have the vaccines and we have the essentially cures for all these diseases. The mother starts to turn on the mother. The parents start turning in on themselves, and it's like, what other existential crises can we look for? You know, vaccines, anti-vaxxers. You know, you get that sort of, I hate the thing that made us at a point where I can hate it. You know what I mean? You're eating your own tail.
That's what anti-vaxxer stuff is.
It's the same.
But there's an anti-vaxxer version of it. There's like a political version of it. There's a race-based version. Mm-hmm. There's a sexual proclivities-based version. There's a education version. There's a workplace version. There's a there's a version of all this, but that's what's going on.
Is there any way, when you talk about rewiring, to rewire society into a glasses half full way instead of thinking of it like we're always looking for problems? Can we look at it? Is it possible to get to a point where we're always looking for things to solve? You know what I mean? We're not just here to bitch and hate ourselves. We're here to continue to find problems and solve them.
Well, this is why I believe, and I've said repeatedly, that the guys I work with, and I talk to them on a daily basis, who are working on projects for me, they're just dutifully going about it, like, all day. Mm-hmm. They're physically solving problems all day. If you're going to sit down, pull up a mug of Postum and watch C-SPAN for 9 hours, you're gonna start hating everything and everyone. If you're sort of on your feet, and nobody chops wood and is depressed or angry. You know what I mean? Like, you're chopping wood. Right. Yeah. You know, like, you're just out there. And yes, I do believe there's two things that get you away from this. And Drew, not in the clip that we played, but in the story that he told me. There was a 10-minute version of this. I didn't want to bore you guys. But I said, this is caused in a vacuum of religion. So when you're religious, you don't go in with this stuff. You have your own thing to do, you know. And what isn't in there, but it's a vacuum of religion as that sort of starts to go by the wayside. And physical activity. Everyone's on a computer. No one needs to leave the cubicle. You get this sedentary world. You get a sort of atheist sedentary world. You got a ton of this. You have a religious physical world. I mean, you're raising a barn or something.
Oh, missionary work.
You don't have that.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. Missionary work. Out doing. Yeah. You know. I'm an atheist. I'm not here to plug God. But what I'm saying is you have a faith, and you have a project. You don't have this mindset.
The religion, in a way, is kind of like the blue collar guys you're talking about, which is, I went to a lot of church in my younger days. Every fucking Sunday was the same thing. It was, the world's always going to have wickedness. There's always going to be, you're going to pray for these people and pray for those people and raise money for these. Like, you know what I mean? It's a perpetual, it's a hamster wheel. Like, you're not being tortured by a new thing. It's like, no, just every weekend's the same.
Yeah, and but you're pedaling.
Yeah, you're focused.
Even if you're not going anywhere, you're on a stationary bike, but the scenery is on a screen going past you. But either way, a little fan, your hair's moving, you don't get suspicious, and or you got that 66 Mustang in the garage, and all thoughts are, this weekend I'm doing the clutch. Yep. You know,
but that thing will always be there. That Mustang, that project, there'll always be, you know, there'll be a cabinet, there'll be something.
Right. So you remove the physicality and you pump in the air conditioning, put in the earbuds, enter cubicle, an ergonomic chair, remove religion and faith, enter Fox and C-SPAN and CNN, MSNBC. Now you get this. Mm-hmm. And no world wars, no real problems, nobody's dying of tetanus.
It's all existential crises.
Right.
Like, this could endanger us.
So think about that, everybody, because this is how we're wired.
While you're walking, not while you're sitting.
Yeah, and other cultures are wired this way. All out of, we're no different than any culture that's out of problems. Mm-hmm. They're all going to turn.
Right.
All right. couple of thoughts. We got our game to play, but Jim is 39 and he's an interrogator.
He's an interrogator.
Oh, God.
And he's got a chick. He's got some Gabe Chick-fil-A thoughts. Sadly, I have a Gabe Chick-fil-A thought that I've been sitting on for a long time.
You mean until it hatches?
Like a chick. But now, unfortunately, Jim has brought out the worst. I feel like Vinny, because he's a man of a certain age, should be in on this one. So why don't we get Vinny? Jim?
Yeah, Adam, hey, how's it going?
You're calling from Washington, D.C. You're an interrogator?
That's correct.
Can you tell us who you work for?
I work for Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Damn.
And how does an interrogation work these days?
Well, so, I mean, most of my days were spent in Iraq and Afghanistan. So a lot of authority that you need to have in order to do this correctly. But so, yeah, that's where most of my experience came from, was Iraq and Afghanistan during the kind of the height of the war years.
Jim, yeah. I just saw the report with Adam Driver. I assume much of it is based on fact. I assume some of it's enhanced, as it were. Have you seen it? Do you know anything about it? Do you know about the actual report? What's your take on that?
So, I haven't seen the movie. I've read a little bit, I mean, about, I've seen in the news that the movie's coming out. And of course, like, I was kind of in this field when everything started to come to light about the CIA's enhanced interrogation program.
Right.
That wasn't something I participated in from the Department of Defense side. That was a different level, so on the CIA side. So where I come from and how I was trained and how we operated was very by the book. There is no level of, you know, torture at all from what
all right.
I did.
Sorry, everything, Jim. I don't want to go down that blah, 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 blah. I don't want to go down to the side road for a second. I just want to kind of get on track.
Oh,
all right.
Back to Chick-fil-A. Sorry.
Back to Chick-fil-A. Well, he didn't see the movie.
Sure,
fine.
Sure.
We're moving on. Now, Vinny's in here for a reason, because I was thinking about him in this. Just to set the table, a lot of talk about going to Jay Leno's garage, bringing him Chick-fil-A, eating Chick-fil-A at Jay Leno's garage. Gabe made the order. There was no order for Mr. Leno and or his crew. And we ended up with sandwiches for me and Mike August. We just ate them in front of Jay, and Jay watches the sandwiches.
And for the first time ever, Adam was humiliated.
For the first time ever. It's hard to humiliate
me,
but
horrible.
I was humiliated.
Yeah.
We sent over a $100 gift card for Chick-fil-A. But Gabe had thoughts about it that, of course, were not damning to him and his actions, but Jim's a professional, so we'll ask Jim. Jim, thoughts?
All right. Well, number one, the level of deception that I picked up was high. So I would put it at probably about 98%. That Gabe knew something was off.
Mm-hmm. Why? How did you pick up that deception level?
Well, one, I think kind of the way that you were perceiving it was a gut feeling. There was something to follow up on there. Like, it doesn't make sense. Two, there was a lot of kind of deflection as to what happened. So there was excuses, right?
It was like, raining
well,
outside.
There wasn't
right.
Yeah, there. Again, bringing up points that don't really matter because maybe he did something wrong, so he's trying to deflect on that.
Well, it is true. If people are bringing up weather conditions and you're asking them whether they paid you or bought this or do that, they're bringing up barometric pressure and stuff
reach,
like that.
Yeah.
It seems like it's maybe their argument isn't as strong as it could be on the subject matter. But okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Right. And overall, there was this kind of constant going back to not explaining, like, what his thought process was, just saying like, well, the chicken nuggets were for Jay and that was it.
Do you
and never really going through his actions or motions or what he was thinking?
Well, the chicken nuggets is not a good explanation because it was added on last second by Chris Loxamana. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't have been for Jay because it was never on a list for Jay. It was added on by Chris at the end. Would you like to interrogate Gabe?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. All right. We can go through a couple scenarios.
He's on a microphone now.
He looks frightened.
I have a psychological overarching truth that I will share with you guys after this. But go ahead.
Let Jim do his thing.
Jim, do your thing.
What's up, Jim?
Gabe. So the day of the purchase in question, when you saw the list of food that you were supposed to buy for, who did you know at that point you were supposed to buy for?
Everybody in the studio and Jay.
So you knew you were supposed to buy for Jay at that day?
Yes.
And had you, prior to this, been involved in the conversation with Jay liking chicken sandwiches?
I was not in that conversation.
Okay. Prior to you going out and purchasing this order, had there been any communication with anybody else about Jay's crew?
No.
So when you left the studio, were you given a dollar amount that you were supposed to use or spend?
No dollar amount.
All right. When you were at Chick-fil-A, and
he didn't go there.
I didn't go to Chick-fil-A.
We picked up Chick-fil-A on the way to Jay's.
It was a call-in order.
Call-in. He called.
It was a call-in order. Yeah. When you made that call, did you feel like something was off?
I mean, I've been told not to question Adam, so I just got to do what I'm told.
Who's told you not to question Adam? I told you to clean your office 5 times. You left and went to another building. You do what you're told? Why don't you clean your office?
I've cleaned my office. We've gone over this.
You cleaned your office when I told you to clean your office?
Later that day, we cleaned, yeah.
Later that day? Okay. All right. I feel like that was a tough putt for me.
It sounds like this really wasn't your fault then. You just did what you were expected to do, and you did the job correctly. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
So who dropped the ball in that process?
I'm not going to shift blame completely off me, but there was an email that was supposed to be forwarded to me. So had I got that email, I would have ordered the other 5 sandwiches.
Okay. So do you think that in this process, you could take a little bit of blame for this?
I mean, yeah, I'm the one that put the order in, so I take some blame.
And do you feel like you should have known that Jay needed that chicken sandwich?
Had I known there was a bunch of, you know, examining of pictures of Jay eating Chick-fil-A, I would have put him down for a chicken sandwich.
So you need to see photographs of a person eating the food you're picking up, like a burrito?
Well, I didn't know
before you buy the person a burrito?
I didn't know there was pictures and talk of an examining of this. Like, I was in the front of the warehouse, not the back. You guys
were
having
that discussion. But do you need to see photographs of people? Like, if I said, get me some hummus, would you need to see pictures of me eating hummus, or could you just get the hummus?
I could just get the hummus, but I didn't know there was a conversation with pictures. I wasn't there for any of those.
Okay. Mm. Do you need to see pictures when you go on runs normally, food runs?
He was handed a list, and the order was on the list.
He wasn't handed a list.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Oh.
He made the list.
I made the list based off what was told
to me, Brian,
verbally.
No one ever handed him a list. He never ordered anything for Jay Leno, and he never said anything about it. That's the crux. That's the only thing that matters here. You're going to Jay Leno's to eat, and you never asked, I didn't order anything for Jay Leno. What does he want? That's the crux.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's all. Sorry, Jim. I did your job for you. He never asked.
Yeah, you did. You didn't
he never asked what does the person want who we're going to eat, or even said why didn't he order anything or anything of that nature. That was the problem. That was the break. That's the only one. But I can tell you why he didn't ask.
Oh,
you want to listen? You want to stay on and listen, Jim? I have a thought. I have a
absolutely.
I have a line of thought. All right, Gabe, you may go back to your office and continue cleaning or working. Or what happened? But I have I do know what the answer is.
Do you tell?
I think I have one too, but I want to hear
you.
You
have the answer? I think yours is mechanical. Mine is emotional.
Oh.
You got emotional? Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Okay. I was thinking to myself, I'm going to put you on hold just so we don't hear the feedback. I was thinking to myself, how old is Johnny Carson? And I looked it up, the year he was born. And I said, how old? Jay Leno, the night I saw him, told me how old he was. He just said, I just turned 69. And I know Gabe just turned 30. And when I did the difference, there was a 39-year difference between Gabe and Jay Leno, and 39-year difference between me and Johnny Carson.
Oh.
Two guys who hosted The Tonight Show for 20 years. Now, I think Jay had 22 years and Johnny had 30 or something like that. Now, I started to drill down on this thing that I've been thinking about a lot, which is hierarchy. That my 19-year-old nephew, when I tell him to do something, he just goes, eh, I had a brain fart, and he walks in the next room. He doesn't even have him do it. And then when I tell Dylan to clean his office, he gets angry after I clean his office and bust his chops and then leaves. And I realize that there's a hierarchy problem, that when somebody says something, it's no longer the boss or the man or this Mr. Leno or Mr. Carson or whatever. And then I thought to myself, when I was 30, if somebody said to me, you're picking up food and bringing it to Johnny Carson's place,
oh my God,
I would have had thoughts. I would have ran out and cleaned my car. You
just
know what
case.
I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I would have like pressed my pants. I would have been like, I would have had a million thoughts all day about Johnny Carson and going to Carson's house and ways not to screw it up. It was all those 80s movies where the boss wants you to go with them on the work trip. Yeah. I was like, huh.
Big deal.
Yep. And I started also thinking, like, even back in the day when Drew and I would go out, and this is kind of where it started, we go out and do colleges, and like college guys would pick us up and be like, oh, it's my roommate's car. You just get in the back, like a Celica, like with two-door.
Right.
And Drew, get in the back. There's a full hamper. Full hamper sitting on the back seat. Just, oh, yeah, move that aside. And it's like, wow, if I was picking up a couple celebrities from the airport back in the day, I would have gone out and cleaned the car up.
Car wash, yeah.
Car wash, whatever.
Rented a car.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hierarchy. Hierarchy. So, it's not the list. It's not the what got fumbled in the list. It's when you told Gabe, who's not involved with the hierarchy part of life, not his fault. That's how we're bringing everyone up. Self-esteem movement. He didn't have a million thoughts about Jay Leno the way we would have had a million thoughts about Johnny Carson, right? We'd have been like, thoughts, just thoughts. Like, what's he eating? What's he want? Maybe he wants another one. Maybe he wants a...
Is he a tomato guy? Yeah. Or?
I'll get him a Diet Coke and a regular Coke.
Ketchup packet, mustard packet, both get both.
Right. You think about the feelings you would have had. I don't know who your guy, one of the guy, the guy who plays the flugelhorn from the band Chicago is coming into town.
Oh God, Brian.
And he wants you to go to Mickey D's.
Adam Carolla would have number one, but after that, guy who plays the flugelhorn, Bill Champlin.
So that's my point.
Keyboard player.
My point is, it's a psychological dynamic. It's a non-recognition of hierarchy. The thoughts of me when I was 30, bringing food to Johnny Carson's place, I would have been hit with a rush of like anxiety and excitement.
Perfectionism.
And it would have been a lot of like, whoa, okay, what does he want?
Run down the checklist.
Get him two straws.
Yeah, right.
Like, it would have been a lot of that. Now, it didn't trigger that in Gabe. It was just a list going to a guy's house who he knew is a name, but it didn't trigger the hierarchy because the hierarchy is gone.
The
hierarchy doesn't really exist anymore. And the same gene or the same training that that makes you able to play a video game while your boss is standing there in his office is the same one that doesn't have a rush of feelings when you talk about the celebrity. It's a hierarchy. Yeah. It's not recognized. Now, part of it is like, okay, good. You're not scared of your boss. You know, that's a good thing. But it's at a point where you should have feelings. You should have, if you would have said to me, you're getting sandwiches for Joe Blow, I would have went, all right, what's Joe Blow want? But if you said Johnny Carson, I would have went, oh,
no.
I got feelings
now. Everything.
Because it's a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. He's a rich guy. He's a famous guy. Yeah. He owns all these tennis courts and stuff. So I realized if you take, you can take a look at the mechanics of it and the nuggets versus the sandwich and the list and the email, but it really breaks down to the hierarchy gene. It really breaks down to put yourself back as a young person going on a run for an A-list celebrity and the feelings you would have had versus, well, you didn't give me a list. Which is no feelings, which is no hierarchy. That's where the disconnect is, the hierarchy disconnect.
Yeah. On that note, another question that might have been interesting for Jim to ask, though I will never tell an interrogator how to do his job, is based on what you said, Adam, Gabe, how do you feel about what happened? Because if I have been in that position, I've dropped the ball in similar ways, and my feeling would be I'm emotionally suicidal. I'm fraught with anxiety and shame about this.
Oh, hang on. I heard Gabe... Because I listen when people talk. He wouldn't even take, and I like Gabe.
I love Gabe.
Great guy. This is not about Gabe. This is about his generation. He couldn't take the full blame for it. He went, well, someone else kind of dropped the ball too, or something to that effect. Meaning, I'm not.
Which could be true. It is true.
Even that part is true.
Even if I was 10% blame, not back in my day, today, I would say 100% my problem. I should have checked, boss. Never going to happen again. And that's the difference. And this is what I've been dealing with for a couple of weeks because, as everyone now knows, I moved across country. So everything had to change. So we're calling a lot of people every day, insurance companies and this and that and the whole thing. And we're talking to millennials. They are not set up to communicate because they never had to communicate with other human beings. It's always been done on a piece of glass.
Phone, yeah.
To the point where, and I finally had this
not
conversation.
Not Danny Thomas style. Go ahead.
Oh, no. He did it different.
Piece of glass.
He also did a piece of glass.
He did it the way a man would do
that's
it.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Yes. But, you know, I was telling Serena, I finally had to go in for a haircut. So I drove to the closest place, and I walked in, young girl, maybe 22, 23, and I said, hey, I would like a haircut. Do you have time? She said, it was like 2 o'clock. She goes, 3 o'clock. I said, so do you have time at 3 o'clock? 3 o'clock. Okay. Is there a coffee shop down the street? It's like all – she could – and by the way, she never put this down, the phone. She never put the phone down. So then she looked up for a second and she said, clippers or shears?
Yeah, and they ask they always want to know the number for the clipper, which I never know.
No, you don't understand. I'm still at the desk at the front. I'm not communicating with the girl who's going to, or the man who's going to cut my hair, or the they. I'm communicating with the girl, and she goes, I said, well, huh? She goes, clippers or shears?
She's just communicating like
part
text.
Sheep.
Yeah, and I said, I don't understand what you're asking me. She goes, would you prefer to have your hair cut with clippers or shears? And I said, well, whatever they use to do my hair. And she goes, well, what do they normally do? I went, I don't know, both? Because the girl zips the back of my neck with the clippers, and I see them with the shears and the whole thing. I said, both? She said, 4 o'clock tomorrow. It was like a Carol Burnett skit, and I went, whoa, hang on.
She's all
you
business.
You said 3 o'clock today. She goes, not if you want both.
Wow.
And I said, okay, what can I get at 3 o'clock? She said, clippers.
Wow.
And
what
I said,
hell?
Are you going to passive aggressive Sam's?
It was like the most surreal thing. So I said, yeah. Whatever you can do to cut my hair today is what I want. She goes, clippers, 3 o'clock. So,
all right, everyone under 30
understand,
sucks. I agree.
And by the way, this is going to dovetail later on when I get into Greta Thunberg, where we're now listening to a 16-year-old without a frontal cortex that's closed, giving the grown-ups of what for. We'll get into that because
all right.
I got thoughts on that.
Thank
but
God.
This is I can't, you know, he's not taking full, yeah, he should because it is Jay.
Now listen, here's the deal, everybody. There's a path to correction, but the only path to correction is an internalization. And that's why you just get in the habit of going, if it's 25% your fault or 15% your fault, you just go, my bad, I got it, not going to happen again. And what that does is it sets it in your brain. It's not going to happen again. If you deflect too much, then there is no problem. Then you don't fix it. See, the path to correction is literally just the internalization of it. The deflection, well, if you do the deflection, I mean, if you take the deflection to the its logical sort of, you bring it to an extension of saying, like, for instance, if somebody said, hey, you know, if your wife said, I came home and there was a bowl of oatmeal and it was sitting in the sink and it was all dried up. So next time you eat oatmeal, rinse, put some water in the bowl. And you said, I wasn't home today, I didn't eat oatmeal. Well, then that's zero fixture for you. Right. And it's true. It's true. You don't need to fix that because that's 100% not on you. But if you say, I ate the oatmeal and the phone rang and I got distracted and you called and you distracted me, then there's no path there's no path to fixing it.
And while that may be true, it doesn't absolve
it. It could
you
all be
the,
true. Yeah. It could be true, and it could be true it played a factor, and it could be true that someone rang the doorbell and whatever it is. But the answer to not let this happen again is, you're right, I'll hit it next time.
Or, hang on, real fast. Mm. You see, you who did not eat the oatmeal, in this case, the dried bowl in the sink, you clean it. Now you're setting a precedence for the other person to go, oh.
You can do bowls that aren't your own, yes.
Right. That's what you should do in life.
Brandon, I agree. Brandon's got a hot take on Braden. Eight is enough. Or Braden. Sorry. Braden.
Braden. What's up, Adam?
Braden, sorry.
Listener, and hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got a Braden, a Brendan, and a Brandon.
He's
too many.
The world's oldest Braden.
Just
yeah,
Braden.
45. Just what's Braden. Going on? Glendale, the what's going on?
Glendale. Hey, so, I think Vinny nailed it. I think we can maybe start putting, I know Brian hates it, Chick-fil-A gate.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that.
All right, we're putting it to rest.
At least be Chick-fil-A-gate.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, so, but back to a couple of months ago, we were talking about Partridge Family, courtship of Eddie's father, Brady Bunch, the widow conspiracy, right? They couldn't bring these shows up with a single parent because of the widow fact, because of the divorce was a taboo.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch, both parents died.
I know, tragic.
Both parents died, right. But when I was listening to your show, I was like going, oh, but what about Eight is Enough? Remember Eight is Enough?
Mm-hmm. Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten started out with a mother and a father with, was it six kids?
Yeah.
The mother, the actress, who was, I forget her name, but was dating John Travolta, actually died while they were filming the season one, turning Dick Van Patten into a widow.
That's the mom from the boy in the plastic bubble who met Travolta when he was like 17 and she was like 40.
Yeah.
Not that he's gay.
No.
Because he's dating a 40-year-old when you're 17. Well, I mean, you're not gay. You're the hot.
Exactly.
You're the opposite.
Yeah, you're
virile. You love the MILFs. Yeah. And she was the original mom, and she died tragically and young and while they were together.
Right. Diana Hyland.
Right.
Diana Hyland, while they're filming season one, and they had to write that into the show.
And then
Betty Buckley took over.
Right.
Broadway's Betty Buckley.
Wow.
Abby.
Oh, Abby. Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Abby Bradford.
Yeah, thanks. There was a group of...
they got me solve this 35-year-old sitcom.
Has already been long solved because the writers wrote it.
Yeah. But it's good, as I never thought about that. It was another one of those. It was one of the many sitcoms where I had to try to pick out which daughter I was most attracted to.
Was that
never
hard gonna, for you? There
never
so
gonna
many.
Meet. Yeah, yeah, they were like cute. And when there's a little studious,
yeah,
it was a little more
sporty,
a little more pragmatic.
That was
yeah.
Full House for me.
Yeah, it's Full House for
couldn't
you.
Decide which
yeah.
daughter.
Aunt Becky.
Couldn't decide
which daughter. What did you go for in the end?
Yeah, I'll let your mind wander.
They're all woefully
I was
underage.
Age appropriate.
Did
I was
she
like
have
10.
A twin?
I was like 10.
We found out the other day that one of them's celebrating a birthday. One day.
right. Emotionally suicidal. I'm emotionally suicidal.
Made me laugh. Let me hit stamps.com. Oh, man, the post office. Who wants to go to the post office, especially during the holidays? We've used stamps.com around here for 10 years, man. Merch, books, paper, paperwork, etc. All the stuff we're sending out. I mean, we just we're sending out DVDs and Blu-rays all over the wazoo, and we always use stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage and put on any package or any letter, and skip the post office, man. The postman will just pick it up. Plus, 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. 700 small businesses use stamps.com, and you should use it too. We've used it here for over a decade, and a special offer, 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right, let's take a quick break. Vinny, you cool off. We're going to do Rotten Tomatoes, and then we'll bring you in, and we'll get to... I think Vinny's got some drinks and some food for the holidays for us. And a little Greta talk right after this.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Live all winter long.
Well, Kimmel dad, Adam to get on stage in free ball. Totally unprepared with no material at all. Get your tickets for the show. What word awaits? It's gonna go. It's gonna go.
Adam Carolla is unprepared at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee on January 24th and in Chicago at Park West on January 25th. Get prepared for Adam Carolla is unprepared by getting your tickets at adamcarolla.com.
Well, long overdue, the Adam Carolla newsletter has arrived at CarollaNewsletter.com. You'll get highlights from the week, behind-the-scenes stories, discounts, deals, exclusive videos of myself and the gang, and stuff you can't get anywhere else. Throughout the holidays, you can sign up at CarollaNewsletter.com, and you'll be automatically entered to win a trip to L.A. to watch the big game with yours truly. Can you imagine that? Hanging out with me and Kimmel and watching the biggest football game of the year. How about that? Sign up for the newsletter today, and you and a friend could be coming out to the car museum to drink a few cold ones and eat some hot wings that Mr. Kimmel cooks up for football on the biggest Sunday of them all. Get it on at CarollaNewsletter.com.
He's the porcelain punisher, fondly. It's his ass we're smelling, and our eyes are welling up with some tears. He's the porcelain punisher, fondly. If it's plop, plop in the toilet, you plus the sound of him groaning, the bowl's overflowing, you know to stay clear. It's the porcelain punisher, the porcelain punisher. Fondly.
Ah, lovely, Rich Banks. And, of course, Mike Lynch as well. Finally, I'm here to tell you guys that Uppity, the movie that has been in limbo for a couple of years now, is ready to ship.
Mazel tov.
So, you may go to chassis, chassy.com.
I feel like it was three cruises ago I saw that.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's
really good.
Thank you.
Tell people where they can get it again.
Chassis, sorry, chassy.com. Yeah, it's good, and it's so good that people wanted to do things with it at Showtime and blah, 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 and they still may. It just kind of knocked the whole thing back
a while. Unforeseen circumstances.
Yes, right. Sure, John Singleton wanted to be involved.
Is Willie T. Ribbs excited about this? I mean,
it's he's funny. A great guy. Oh, Willie's great. Willie's up for everything, and we'll be hearing from him. The thing, as I now everything kind of coming together, Singleton was the heavy hitter that was coming to the shop on Saturday to meet with me when I told my nephew, hey, I want to clean this place up. I want to clean this place up. Like, go outside
hierarchy.
And get all the wrappers and stuff out of the whatever. I told him that on a Friday at 3 in the afternoon. And when I showed up Saturday, here's how pure my mind is. When I showed up Saturday and the planter box was still full of Taco Bell wrappers and stuff, I was like, must have been windy last night.
Blew it over.
Must have blown it right over.
Unkempt yard.
Yeah.
There's no way he didn't do this because I told him at 3 in the afternoon on Friday that, hierarchy.
Hierarchy.
Heavy hitter. I got a heavy hitter. That meant heavy hitter to me, old brain. I want to clean this place up. New brain, I don't care who you are or who the heavy hitter is. I'm not doing it.
I'm knocking off at 4:30.
So he didn't do it because the heavy hitter didn't mean anything to him. I did it because even though John Singleton is not Quentin Tarantino, he's coming to my place and I want to present.
Yeah.
I want to present it nice to him. We're going to be indoors, but I want the outside to look nice too.
Of course.
That's a perfect example of me being triggered. John Singleton's coming. We got to clean up versus my nephew going, huh?
Untriggered.
Untriggered.
For both of you.
And me telling him and him going, yeah, I spaced out. You know what he told me? Brain fart.
Oh.
I had a brain fart. Between 3 and it was Friday, 3 o'clock. I had a brain fart. Oh. All right. The other great thing, too, is that when on Monday I said, okay, a brain fart. He's like, yeah, brain fart. I'm like, I still do want the planter clean, though.
Why are we still standing?
Oh, okay. there was a second lap.
Right. Instead of cleaning the outside, was he fixing one of your cars or editing a movie?
No.
Was he doing?
He was doing things, just not the things I said. Presumably, he was doing things. I'm just saying the feeling you have inside. If somebody says, one of your mom's friends is coming by to have fondue, you go, all right.
I'll clear out.
But if somebody says, Dwayne Johnson's coming by or something, you have different feelings.
To have fondue?
Yes. Different feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different. It triggers something. So when coworker says something, it's one feeling. When boss says something, it's another feeling, or at least
should be.
That used to be it.
Added layer, too, of not just John Singleton the celebrity, John Singleton the whatever. Guy you're going to do business with. You're a potential business partner.
Right. But because of the no hierarchy in my nephew, the heavy hitter didn't trigger him, and his boss didn't trigger him either. Nothing was triggered. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
That's an emotional thing. We all know when, well, I'd be doing K-Rock, I'd be 30, and Lightning wanted to talk to me about something, I'd go, or the van driver, the phone screener, Brian, I'd go, okay. And Trip Reeb wants to talk to me. I was like, oh, boy. It was a long walk
right
down that hall.
Of course.
I'd, go to the bathroom, slop some water on my face so I could look alert,
I'll confess to you, I had a little bit of that moment when I was phone screening for Loveline. Remember the night your car broke down at the gas station and they wouldn't let you use anything, the bathroom or whatever? They dispatched me to go get you in my 91 Chevy S10. This was 2004. And I picked you up, and I thought, I'm going to pick up the boss, I'm going to pick up Adam Carolla. Because I'd only been there for, a year or so. And I was like, I got to clean the car, put the drivers away.
Good. And people think it's a bad
thought. Those thoughts are gone.
Because they think it's fear.
Right.
But it's not really fear. It's kind of respect.
Yeah, it's a healthy respect.
I remember that clearly. I was driving a Mini Cooper and it just broke down.
You were driving a Mini Cooper?
Adam has extolled the virtues of Mini Coopers.
I love
it. Very hard for me to wrap my mind.
Supercharged. First gen.
Okay.
Handles well. Fun car.
What color?
Stick shift. It was gray with a black roof. It was cool. It's a fun little car. Anyway, broke down. Tried to park it at a gas station, and the guy was like, you got to pay me. And I was like, you're going to fix this car tomorrow.
Right.
I'm just going to push it to the side here. And he's like, I need you to pay me. I remember that. That was the thought on that very clearly. And, of course, I couldn't get to work, so Brian was dispatched.
Sure.
All right. We ready to play the Rotten Tomatoes game?
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, in our last Rotten Tomatoes game of the year, we'll be looking back on some moments that defined 2019 here at the Adam Carolla Show. It was arguably the year of stand-up. Adam's New Year's resolution was to perform more, and the Ace Man came through with Not Talk About Material, the roast of Alec Baldwin, and of course countless performances throughout the country and across the Los Angeles metropolitan area. In honor of that, let's discuss a movie about two stand-up comedians played by Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen, 2009's Funny People.
Good movie. Nice movie. I feel like Sandler can do good work, and sometimes he gets a little bit punished sometimes because it's Sandler.
Uncut Gems on the horizon.
I'm interested in your thoughts on that, Brian.
Have you seen it?
No, after you see it.
Okay.
I have not seen it either.
It's very high on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and there's a weird kind of a thing, which is it's sort of like Sandler getting nominated is sort of like Carolla getting a doc in Sundance. It ruins it for everyone who came before them.
Really lessens the achievement.
This guy's a clod who didn't go to college, and he's doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
He who dons,
what does that mean for me?
Dons the beret and is super woke. So you got to be careful, because if you put Sandler in that group, now everyone's kind of like,
where do you go? Ashton Kutcher's next.
Right. All right. Uncut Gems, 93% and 100 with the people.
Whoa.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's 11 people or something. Okay. But it's still, it's 100. It's 100. All right. This is a perfectly serviceable and entertaining movie. And it does, it's one of the few kind of stand up movies where the guy comes across as a stand up. Uh-huh. Like it works. Like you go, oh, he's doing jokes and his friends are funny and blah, blah, blah. And it's got some fun stuff in it.
There are some really good moments in this movie.
I feel like it is. It'll be knocked around a little because it's a comedy, because it's Sandler. But
I remember the criticism was it was a little too long. You
know, and a little long.
The last half.
But it's
it's not a bad criticism.
Sandler is very likable in this. Okay.
Sandler is capable of greatness.
He is. I say, yeah, like a little Nicky.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's
I'm going to say 63.
Oh, I went a little higher. I said 79.
Should be 79.
I also said 79.
Wow.
Funny People is fresh. At 69.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Audience score 48.
Not a fan. Well, maybe they thought with a name like
Adam
Funny
People. Yeah. And Seth Rogen.
It would be a little more lighthearted.
From the director of Knocked Up and you know, whatever. Like they probably thought something else.
We should end this thing where people go in with a lot of preconceived thoughts. You know what I mean? Like they go, well, you expect this and you got that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Just go see a movie and if you like it, you like it.
You know what a great Adam Sandler movie is? Hmm. Punch Drunk Love.
I own that movie.
I love that movie.
I don't think I like that movie.
Oh, okay. Come on.
I didn't know what it was about.
It's a bit of a, you know, up here in your head.
All right. And what do we got?
All right. With all the negative headlines, it's easy to forget that 2019 was also a year for love. Our own Gina Grad got engaged just a few short months ago. And if you're a fan of the water cooler, a sideshow of resume, you know that Chris Maxapata is tying the knot as well.
Yay!
All of us are looking forward to attending.
Oh, I was asking Chris, but honestly, off the air. And Garrigo's going to be in here later.
Yeah.
And you know how we say, like, hey, play that song or play that song because people enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not doing it in a way to put you down.
I know.
We're doing it in a way
to build you up.
Yeah, that the audience, while original music is great, this is original to the band Chicago, and everyone loves it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I asked Chris this, And I didn't know how to say it without it sounding, you know, bad. But okay. I wanted to know, Jen's, you know, pretty successful person. Is there a prenup?
Oh.
Because normally the fellas are on the happy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're drafting a prenup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not discussing the merits of signing a prenup.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's a winner and a loser.
Right.
But the person that wants the prenup is obviously doing better. And
certainly financially.
And I know that Garagos has probably crafted a bunch of prenups, but I don't know if he's been on the loot. There's one side, the other side of the mahogany desk. Like, what would he advise you? You know what I'm saying? He's going to be in here in an hour. I'm just saying. You want me to talk to him?
It certainly feels like there's a winner and loser in this. When the way you're explaining,
the way you're positioning,
yeah.
Well, the loser would be if she didn't have a prenup, and you know, there's a 50% divorce. Or we're in Hollywood.
That
man.
Should be.
I mean, you're not really in Hollywood, but I mean, we're in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Not actually in Hollywood.
Hollywood
but we're
adjacent.
In,
yeah.
I mean, show business.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, Garagos is going to be in here.
I know.
So
don't squander that opportunity.
Don't use winning and losing side. Just say, if I'm presented with this, would you like to give it a quick look-see?
Okay. Everyone says don't get the lawyers involved, but you got to protect yourself.
Jen's got to protect herself. I agree with Brian. That's say Jen.
No, it was implied pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Was it?
Okay. She's pretty successful.
She's great.
And who knows how much more successful she could be 11 years from now.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? And also, we don't know what direction you're going.
Yeah, she's a very high ceiling.
We kind of know.
Well, no, we don't, but there could be a...
Yeah.
You know
a
what
surprise?
I mean? It's not all about one person moving up. Right, it can be the other person sliding, you know.
It exacerbates the difference, is what you're saying.
It's a Vance and a retard.
Yeah.
Retard isn't negative.
Which one's which?
It sounds like it, but
you're
it's sort of a turning the other...
Yeah.
Whatever that...
Whatever that
I know how this is coming across. Whatever the gap is between you two right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Projecting.
Right now it's a gap.
Okay.
Right now it's a gap. Now the gap can grow by Jen moving up, or it can grow by Jen moving up and you sliding down a little bit. But either way, it's bound.
It's widening.
Yeah. There's going to be distance.
You know when there's a tear in a sweater?
Yeah.
And over the years... It doesn't get smaller.
Never.
Right.
Well, this is the same thing.
Can't be mended.
Okay. I'm just saying, Garagos can walk through that door in 55 minutes.
He's trying to do you a favor.
Yeah.
Without him trying to say his congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the
advice. I didn't want to have this conversation off the air or on the air, but...
But we did both.
Well, I got to know Jen a little on the cruise, and she deserves to hang on to... She's worked really hard to get where she's gotten, you know?
Yeah.
So... I just
then you'd be dragged down.
Hate to see half of that go away.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. We understand. We had to have this conversation.
I understand.
In private, and
can she
and,
call in separately?
I'll talk to Gary.
Well, she can. Yeah. Well, let me talk to Gary.
Okay.
Because
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So all of us are looking forward to attending 1997's My Best Friend's Wedding.
Garagos used to book Perkins Palace, and they got a lot of A-list bands in that place. So while we're talking to him about the prenup, there's also, I mean, he had the Tubes in there in the early 80s.
Oh, wow.
They had some peppy hits. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, while we're talking about the prenup, maybe a little set list.
Work on the set list.
Not the whole set list, but a couple suggestions. I mean, it's Mark Garagos, the guy... He booked Perkins Palace.
He knows his shit.
He knows what he's doing.
You don't get a lot of FaceTime with that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take the favor, Chris.
What are we talking about?
Go ahead.
My best friend's wedding.
My best friend's wedding?
Who's the guy?
Rupert Everett?
Yes. Is he still a...
He's a thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
He sung the Pina Colada song.
It's true.
All right. I don't know if this is good or not.
Because I'm not a rom-com person, so if I saw this, I was probably 5 years old or whatever when it came out. He's gay in the movie. That's her gay best friend, and he becomes her kind of her beard so she can try and get the other guy back.
I guess.
Sure.
I kind of remember
that
this.
That seems plausible.
Was this okay? This is people sort of thought this was a nice movie, Brian.
I'm drawing dead on this one. All I remember is that after Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts bottomed out a little bit, like she had a bunch of bad choices, and then she had a big comeback at some point. I couldn't remember if it was this or Runaway Bride or there was some or Notting Hill. There was some big comeback.
Notting Hill, I think. Yeah, Runaway Bride, no. Notting Hill.
Yeah, this
yes.
wasn't the big comeback.
Okay.
Movie,
all right. Thank you. All right. They didn't like this, but they didn't hate it. She's so likable. Mm-hmm. And it's innocuous, like it's not
hurting
no,
anybody.
No harm, no foul. All right, you guys in?
Yeah. Sure.
55.
Ooh. Total shot in the dark, 66.
60.
My best friend's wedding is certified fresh.
Oh, nice.
73.
Oh, all right. Wow, even across the board, 73 with the audience.
Yeah, rarely see that. All right, so they liked it. All right.
All right, 2019 was a big year for someone else in the Corolla universe. Mark Garagus.
Hey, you got it.
Speaking of Mark.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He'll be coming through that door about 49 minutes now.
Between Colin Kaepernick, the Firefest, Kesha, and Jussie Smollett, guy's been keeping busy. We asked for his favorite lawyer movie, but never heard back. But we all figure it would be.
Put a camera in front of his face.
2003's Legally Blonde 2.
Oh, sure.
Red, White, and Blonde.
Yeah.
Legally Blonde was a great movie.
It was, yeah.
For what it was, really fun.
A Broadway musical hit.
You want to know range?
Please.
The guy who directed The Hammer directed Legally Blonde 2.
Charles Wormfelt? Wormfelt?
Yeah. Charles Herman Wormfelt.
That's a great name.
It's a range.
Yeah. It was funny because he is so gay. And it would be me and Kevin Hench standing there, and he'd be like, oh, when you spar, do you wear a boxing hat? And we'd go, huh? Boxing hat. Headgear? Yeah. Would you wear the thing? The boxing hat.
That's awesome.
This guy's directing a boxing movie.
That's great.
But it was funny because Hench was like, Charles, you take care of the lovey-dovey stuff, mm-hmm. and we'll take care of the blue-collar stuff. So that's right. Why it probably turned out. There's Charles, and
Jane
he's
Lynch.
With Jane Lynch.
Star of the film, Jane Lynch?
Star of the film, uncredited Jane Lynch, because her people didn't want her name on it.
It's probably savvy.
I think Charles was called in a friend, a favor, and or Hench. Maybe Hench knew her, but either way, her people were like, no names. I just talked to someone the other day. He's like, I love that scene with you and Jane Lynch and the Hardware Store. I was like, yeah. Anyway, no names.
That's great. Oh, nice caftan.
We're looking at Charles in a, what do you call
it's
that?
A caftan.
A frock?
It's a caftan.
Can we, would Vinny, Vinny would call it a long dress?
Yeah. That's like a shawl.
Yeah.
You guys know.
No, that's a caftan. Yeah. But it looks, for anyone listening, it looks like a long summery
it's a
dress.
A muumuu.
All right.
Right, Gina?
Yes, it's very much like a muumuu.
I appreciate the comfort, but there's a situation brewing.
What do you mean?
Well, you wear your sheet, your colorful sheet, mm-hmm. down the red carpet, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you're walking down there, mind your own beeswax and your sheet, your summery sheet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Maria Menounos pops out with a microphone. She's like, tell me all about the film. And you go, Jesus Christ, you're looking good, baby. And then she goes, yeah, tell me about your latest project. Okay, showing a little cleavage there. Somebody got gussied up for the red carpet. Next thing you know, Boner City,
USA. Yeah. It's not sitting right. It's not sitting right.
Now you got to walk the whole rest of the carpet with a boner in your sheet? No, thank you, Bob Dixie. If I'm going out in my caftan.
Yeah, caftan.
I'm wearing three pair of Tommy John.
Yeah, that's smart.
Compression
shorts.
Strap it down.
Strap it, man.
Do you think this gentleman had that problem with Maria Menounos?
Charles?
Yeah.
She's very pretty.
I was going to say, he's probably okay.
Yeah, you're right.
I hear you.
All right, Mario Lopez popped
okay.
out.
Oh, no.
He's got a microphone.
Run.
Now right, we're talking.
Sorry. All right, what movie?
Legally
Blonde 2.
Never saw it. Another movie never saw.
Reese in this movie.
She goes to Washington.
She's always super likable and fun and all that kind of stuff. This can't be, you know, it's a two. They're going to Washington. It can never work.
Right.
Now, it's kind of weird. The comedy follow-up, comedy sequels never work.
Mm-hmm.
Actions, ones like your Alien and stuff like that, Aliens
Terminator
and stuff like that, Terminator, those can work.
Well,
they work a lot.
Yep.
All right. So they didn't like it, but she's likable enough, so they didn't hate it. So I'm going 49.
Ooh. Oh, right there with you. 53.
51.
Legally Blonde 2 is rotten at 37%.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
It's a close game.
It's a close game.
While the verdict is still out on whether or not the baby was conceived in the Corolla's bedroom, Kaylin's girlfriend recently gave birth to a baby girl. Just a few short weeks later, Gary and his wife welcomed their new baby boy. And you know, nothing says family like a good old-fashioned talking baby movie. Bruce Willis lends his voice. In 1989's Look Who's Talking.
The original.
Yeah, the first one. All right.
This is with Allie. What's her
name? Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley and Travolta. Okay.
Voice of the baby. Oh, Bruce Willis.
Bruce, yeah. Don't know. I'm sure we'd be bumped to hell by this.
You probably have never seen this,
CGI.
Adam. Because this is 89. I feel like you had other things going on.
I was fighting for my life.
Couldn't be bothered to go see a talking baby.
No, I just heard it. Like, eh. All right. They didn't like it.
There were so many more.
People liked, later it was Roseanne, or is she in this one too? Or is that the next one?
She's one of the next two.
All right. That boy. What do we do here? 38.
Mm. Oh, wow. This is a massive hit, directed by the great Amy Heckerling. I think this is a pleasant, enjoyable movie. I think if anything, I'm low. I said 74.
Oh my God.
Female director. Uh-oh, yeah. I should have factored a couple points for that.
So it's bad and it didn't age well. And I feel like even if people liked it,
bad.
But if people liked it then, they're not going to admit it now. I said 49.
Brian, you saw it at a tender age, though, right?
True, but we can, Chris, look it up. Its box office is like top 5 or top 10 of the year.
Definitely, we all know the name. Mm. I mean, it definitely was popular.
Mm. Look Who's Talking is rotten.
Good. Oh, damn it.
At 57%.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You thought you were low.
Yeah, I thought it was like a pleasant movie that everyone liked.
But you're not allowed to give it a high score.
I saw it as a kid, so I can't judge it.
Yeah,
it's
a kid. That was through the kid goggles.
Okay.
People, audience, 47. It's weird that the audience, you think audience would be higher.
I was a crowd pleaser. Mm.
Thanks for playing, Brian.
I wasn't that far off.
$297 million box office.
Wow.
That's at $89. That's yeah. $200 million.
No, that's more than $89, Brian. That's $200.
Sorry. That.
Finally, 2019 was a landmark 10-year anniversary for two separate milestones, both worthy of a toast. Here's to Bald Brian, cancer-free for 10 years, and a decade of The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah.
So here's your final movie, a classic starring Dudley Moore, Julie Andrews, and, of course, Bo Derek, 1979's 10.
Now, this movie's funny, but it's funny for its time. I don't know if it's funny now.
Blake Edwards?
Yeah, Blake Edwards did some really schmaltzy stuff and then some funny stuff. This is Dudley Moore at the height of his powers was awesome. People forget how good that guy was. He was great, played the piano, and he's perfect for this part. Also, if you look at when he died, you know, it seemed like a long time ago and he kind of seemed old enough. I bet he was fucking me and Vinny's age. Like, I bet he was not that old. He was probably in his mid, later 50s or something.
66.
Something. Oh, all right.
Did he have an alcohol problem or was he just really good in Arthur?
I think he was just really good in Arthur. He had a weird disease, I think,
he died of.
Dwarfism. This was fun. This movie was a fun movie because he was in it, and it had a lot of titties in it, which is why you would go see a movie back in the day.
What's it called again?
Was Bo Derek his love interest?
She was a 10. Brian, you should see this movie it's one of those iconic kind of whatever movies, and it was funny. I mean, it was well executed, and he's funny in it, and Bo Derek just looks like, it's true, like Bo Derek looks like the best looking person on the planet in this movie. All right, now.
And Julie Andrews, lending her credibility.
All right, now, critics couldn't have loved it. It was just a fun movie to watch. This is going to settle. This game's fairly close. this is the kind of movie that I saw, and when I saw it when I was like in high school or 15 or something, and I'd be like, oh, this is a funny movie. This is 80%, but the critics probably not. Oh. But there are lots of funny scenes. I'm going to say 71.
Mm. Oh, man, this is going to separate us. Right on the cusp of Rotten and Fresh at 58.
Ooh, I said 70.
10 is Fresh.
Damn it.
At 68.
Oh, I had 68 and I crossed it out.
Mm. What'd you say? 70?
I said 70, yeah.
Oh.
I would have liked that 5 points, though.
Dang.
Great posters for 10, both of them.
Yeah. Audience at 53. That's a weird one. It's just titties and fun. I don't know why. Right.
We'll start with you, boss. Good showing on the podium. 58. Gina Grad. Mm. 11-point swing between you and the ace man.
Ooh.
Bald Brian. A 2-point swing between you and the ace man.
Oh, boy.
Which swing swings wider?
Swing it.
Third place goes to Bald Brian.
Yeah.
Your 2-point swing puts you at 60.
It's a good third place score.
An 11-point swing for Gina Grad.
Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
If you are good at math, you already know she has won the game at 47. Unofficially, Vinny says he got 39.
You play in the back.
I did play in the back right behind where all the scores are written on a piece of paper that I'm holding right here.
It's been a good year, guys. Thanks a lot.
Trust the man. You got negative 25.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
That's gross.
I feel like Gina has upped her game.
Thank you.
Brian, remember talking about Jen and Chris the other day? Like, Brian slid, and I've just sort of stayed in the middle.
Yeah, steady as she
That's
goes.
What this feels like. But Gina, you're starting to get your feet under you in the Rotten Tomato game.
Feel good about it.
You've gone from a distant third to a narrow third.
How dare you?
I don't know.
Says what, the three-time loser in the last month?
Negative 16.
Oh, okay. All right, let me hit Castrol. Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep them metal parts from rubbing and robbing. It is three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol Edge. It's formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. Castrol Edge. So we'll take a break. Vinny will come in. We'll do a little holiday talk and drinks and things to eat around the holidays. You're trying to keep the waistline in check. And we'll do the news right after this. Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501, it is the best. It is Pluto TV.